You will know that some of our churches have recently been holding meetings to call a new minister. Dungannon, in recent months, called the Reverend John Armstrong. The church at Antrim called the Reverend Paul Thompson, and he was installed just last week as the new minister of that congregation. The call of a minister, that is the call of God. And that call comes to the minister through the people, the call or the vote of the congregation. But what I want to emphasize to you, brethren and sisters, is that God doesn't just call ministers. Sometimes we make that mistake when we talk about and think of and refer to the call of God. I want to stress, God doesn't just call ministers. I want you to see this morning that the call of God goes out to every Christian, to every child of God. There is, first of all, the call to salvation. The Savior said, remember the words, think of them carefully. I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. When you get saved, that happened because God called you. It's what we generally call or describe as the effectual call of the gospel. God called you to repentance, and he called you to salvation. Remember the Lord said through Isaiah, I have called thee by thy name. Remember the call is personal. Called thee by thy name. He's called you individually. And I want you to think this morning, as you look back to your salvation, think of the great privilege that you had at that time to be called personally by the King of Kings. Do you remember young Samuel? The Bible says he didn't yet know the Lord. That was the night when God spoke and God called him. And Samuel was called personally. Samuel, Samuel. And he was called repeatedly. Remember the Lord called him on four occasions, only the fourth time that Samuel responded and acknowledged and realized that it was the Lord himself. That was the night of Samuel's conversion. So there is the call to salvation. But I want to emphasize and point out that there is much more than that, brethren and sisters. That is not the end of the story, because there's also the call to service. And that's what I want to stress to you, especially today. The Savior said, follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. That was the call to those who were already saved. They were already the Lord's. So what the Lord was doing there was, he was calling them to service, calling them to soul winning. And brethren and sisters, that call goes out to every Christian. The call of God to serve him. I want to stress to you again and anew this morning that we're saved to serve. And we ought never to forget that. God has saved you for a reason. God has saved you and called you out of the world for a purpose. And that purpose, men and women, is that you might do a work for him. And it is the call of God, the service, that is given here in this verse that we have chosen as our text. The Savior is speaking to his disciples. He had spoken to the woman at the well, and now he's speaking to his disciples at the well, at the very same place. And he calls them. He challenges them to greater service for the Master. And that's what I'd like to do this morning, men and women. As we think of this summertime, and as we think in a few weeks' time and how quickly it will happen, when all the activities will recommence, I want to urge you to greater service for the Master. This verse contains, it's the title of the sermon this morning, this verse contains a threefold call to service. And I pray God will give you ears today to hear that call of the Lord. Notice there's a call to listen. The text says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest, behold, I say unto you. There's a call to listen, men and women. Isn't it true to say there are times that you talk too much? There are times that you need to stop talking and start listening. And especially you need to start listening to the Lord. And really that's what the Lord was saying to the disciples here. But maybe it's the same for you. You need to start listening more to the voice of God as it comes to your heart. You note the word behold. We've emphasized it to you before. I'd just like to highlight it again. When you find that word behold in the passage, the Lord's erecting a stop sign. He wants to slow you down. He's seeking to get your attention. He wanted to get the attention of his disciples here. So he says, behold, here's something startling. Here's something I want you to take note of. Can I ask, brethren and sisters, today, is the Lord trying to get your attention? Maybe you've been too busy. Maybe you've been talking too much, so much so that you can't hear the voice of God, or you won't let the Lord speak. Doesn't that sometimes happen in a conversation? Somebody dominates it, somebody talks too much, and nobody else can get a chance to say anything. Well, maybe that's the way it's been in your life. You've been talking too much, saying too much. You won't allow the Lord to speak. You won't allow the Lord to say what he has for your heart and for your life. You remember Moses in the backside of the desert? The Lord set a bush on fire. And the reason he set that bush on fire in the miraculous manner that he did is because he wanted to speak to Moses. And the reality, brethren and sisters, is there's times the Lord has to do something extraordinary in order to get your attention. You think of that. What will the Lord have to do in your life? What way will he have to intervene in order to get your attention, in order to get you to listen to his word and to his message? The Savior is calling you to listen, brethren and sisters. And he wants you to listen to him. And he wants you to listen to his word. And I want to urge you today for a moment or two to sit at his feet, sit at the feet of Christ, and listen to what he has to say to your heart today. Do you remember Martha? Too busy, cumbered with much serving. And remember that on that occasion she was serving the Lord Jesus. It was Christ himself that she was seeking to serve that day. But the lesson's clear, men and women. At times we can even be too busy in the service of the Master that we don't have time for the Master himself and time for his word. And I wonder, is that true of you? The Bible says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. God has blessed you with hearing. And first and foremost, he wants you to use that hearing to listen to him, to his message, to his word. James said, be slow to wrath, slow to speak, and swift to hear. But often we get it the wrong way round. We're too swift to speak, and we're not slow to hear. It's clear, isn't it? Clear for us. Over and over, the scriptures call us to listen. So there's a call to listen, brethren and sisters. And remember that God speaks to our hearts through his word. John Patton, the missionary, sent a message one day to his wife. He sent it with one of the natives. He actually wrote the message on a bit of wood. The native had never seen that happen before. He couldn't understand how Patton's wife would know what he wanted just by sending that piece of wood. And he described it very graphically as the wood that speaks. But I want you to understand, men and women, here's a book that speaks. Did it speak to you this week? The Lord said to Job, hearken to the voice of my words. God's word has a voice. God speaks through his word. That means that you need to be reading the Bible. If God's going to speak, you're going to hear what he has to say, you need to be reading the Bible regularly, daily. You need to be out at the meetings, not careless in your attendance. You'll not hear the Lord speak if you're not in the Word, if you're not under the Word, if you don't have the Word of God in your hands. Our prayer, brethren and sisters, should ever be, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So there's a call to listen. I want you to see as well, there's a call to look. The text says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Why did the Savior say, lift up your eyes? It's because the disciples were looking in the wrong direction. If they had to lift up their eyes, that means their eyes were turned downward. They were taken up with the things of this world, with the things of earth. And that, men and women, is true of many of God's people. They're looking in the wrong direction. Their eyes are fixed on earthly things. Could I ask you this morning, on the Lord's day, as you're in the Lord's house, can I ask you, where are you looking today? What's your gaze, your focus upon? Is it upon yourself? You're glorying in your talents, glorying in your ability, glorying in your strength, your achievement, your possessions. Well, if you are, remember this. Remember what the Lord said. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Remember, there's not a breath that you have. There's not an ounce of health. That there's not a gift. There's not a possession that you have today that you did not receive from his hand. G. Campbell Morgan went to hear one of his own sons preach on one occasion. He had four sons, and every one of them was in the ministry. But he had to give a gentle rebuke to his son that day. The son wanted his father to pass comment on how he had conducted the service and how he had preached. And this was the comment the father made, very wisely, lovingly, tenderly. He said, "You're good, and you know it." There was a wee rebuke there. Too full of yourself. You need to humble yourself, even in the service of Christ. And maybe that's true of you too. Is your eyes upon yourself? Maybe your eyes are upon others. Looking critically at the efforts of another Christian, always running them down. Or maybe looking at them in a covetous, envious manner, wearing the green glasses of envy. You covet their clothes, you covet their car, you covet their job, their home, maybe the position they have in life, the position they have in church. Where are you looking? Looking at your circumstances? Taken up with home and family, or taken up with the events that you're passing through? Where is your gaze? Where are you looking at today, brethren and sisters? Would you have to admit that you're taken up with the wrong things? The Savior says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. There were many souls in Samaria, just as there are many souls in the city of Armagh. You need to lift up your eyes and look out across the city at the fields that are white already on the harvest, the fields to be reached. That's what the Savior wanted the disciples to say, calling them to look on the fields. And he's calling you to look at the souls too, men and women. The souls that need to be won for Christ. Can you see that today? Or have you lost the vision? Lost the vision in God's work? Lost the vision in that great task of winning others to the Savior? Remember, men and women, we're thinking about the Roman Catholics, and this is a city that is dominated by Romanism. You only have to look out across and see the great cathedral. Remember, there's more than 1 billion Catholics in the world that need the gospel. A few weeks ago, we preached on missions to Muslims. Well over 1 billion Muslims in the world that need the gospel. The nation of India alone, our brother, the Reverend Calvin Stripp, and the will of God, preparing to go to India, will be here in the new year, in the course of his deputations to tell us about that vision. But in that one nation, there's more than 1 billion souls that need to hear the gospel. Well over 1 billion Chinese. The figures maybe for that nation alone of something like 1.4 billion people. I want you to see, lift up your eyes today and look out on the fields, vast fields of souls that are white already on to harvest. Remember, untold millions, and they're still, as we sit here this morning, in our carelessness, our indifference, our coldness, our apathy, there's untold millions, and they're still untold. There's untold millions that are still outside the fold. Can you see that, men and women? Have you a vision? Have you a vision today of the fields and of the souls that are perishing without Christ? There's a call to look. And the final call in the text is a call to labor. The Savior says, lift up your eyes and look in the field, for they're white already to harvest. We'll soon be in the harvest season. Maybe as far as the winter crops are concerned, the harvest will have begun. But we'll soon be in the thick of the harvest season. We'll thank the Lord for his faithful provision for us. But remember, men and women, there's a spiritual harvest. There's a harvest of souls. And if there's going to be a harvest, there must be work. There must be effort and there must be labor. That's true physically. And it's especially true spiritually. There can be no harvest without work and without workers. And I want to ask you, men and women, in the middle of this year 2015, are you in the work? Are you laboring for Christ? Jeremiah Manili, one of the great men of the 1859 revival, one of the four men that prayed for revival in the schoolhouse in Kells. He came one night late to a home to speak with a man, and he found his friend in bed. The friend opened the upstairs window and spoke down to him. And Manili's response was, "What, lying in bed and souls to be saved?" You know, it's a picture in some ways of some Christians and of the church sleeping while souls are perishing. That was true of Jonah. He was sleeping in the hinder part of the ship, and all the other souls on that ship were in danger of perishing. That's a picture of the church, men and women. It's a picture of many of God's people asleep when multitudes around them are in danger of being lost for all eternity. Do you know those words in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, when Paul said, "Awake thou that sleepest"? That's referring to Christians, to the church. Because at times there is that slumber, that sleepiness that comes across the activity of the work of God. Do you remember those words we thought of a few Thursday nights ago in the book of Galatians? "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men." I want to stress, men and women, that you need to remember today that you'll not always have the opportunity. You'll not always have the opportunity to witness to your family. You'll not always have the opportunity to talk to your neighbors and to your friends about their soul and the things of God. You'll not always have an opportunity to labor for the Master. You don't know what tomorrow, you don't know what this week might bring. Sickness and health taken from you, maybe even in your own life. The reality is, we don't always have the opportunity. A lot of people are sick, even young people, perhaps some related to you. There are those that have been taken home around us, even in recent days, while still very young, still at a very young age. And that should speak to us, men and women, not to be careless, We'll not always have the opportunity. We need to redeem the time. We need to use wisely and carefully whatever time God gives to us in his work. It should speak to us of the need to be in the work, of the need to be laboring while we still can, while God still gives us the health, and while he still gives us an open door to be involved in his service. I want to say to you today, don't stand idle all the day. Is that what the man had to say in the parable? Those men that stood idle all the day. Remember, the night cometh when no man can work. There's a time coming for us all, maybe sooner than we care to think. A time coming you'll not be able to do anything for God. When the opportunity for service will be taken and it will be gone forever. You think of the woes in the scripture, men and women. There's those great woes in the book of the Revelation that will be sounded in the time of the end. But there's other woes found throughout the word of God. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Does God have to pronounce that woe upon your life? The woe of heaven upon the life of a Christian because you're at ease. You're not doing anything. You're careless. Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. You haven't been telling others, haven't been speaking for the master. That woe of the Lord is upon you too. Isn't it clear, men and women? God's not happy with lazy Christians. God has called you, and he's called you to labor, and he's calling you again and afresh this morning, calling you into the work of the gospel. You're familiar, I know, with the name of Jim Elliot. I'll finish as I tell you this story. Jim Elliot was the missionary who at just 28 years of age died in South America as he sought to reach the Aka Indians with the message of the gospel. Jim Elliot and four of his colleagues. His wife Elizabeth Elliot, died just in the month of June of this year. On Thursday night, we talked a little about the Magna Carta. The Magna Carta had its 800th anniversary of the royal seal of King John placed upon it on the 15th day of June of this year. Well, on the 15th day of June 2015, Elizabeth Elliot, the wife of the famous missionary Jim, passed into the presence of the Lord. And after all those years, reunited with her husband. Whenever Jim first told his wife that he was called to be a missionary, that he was called to go to that dangerous region and that dangerous tribe with the message of the gospel, she couldn't settle on the matter. There was a great struggle, a very great struggle, that went on in her heart and in her life with regard to that matter. She struggled especially with her willingness to let him go. And perhaps only those that have been married to missionaries and know what is involved in all of that and leaving home, and particularly a husband maybe going on his own as Jim Elliot did on that occasion, will be able to identify with all of the struggles that she went through at that time. She struggled greatly with it. And one day she sat him down and they spoke at length with regard to it. And she confronted him with all her feelings, with all her concerns. And she asked him this question. She said, Jim, tell me, are you sure, sure beyond all doubt that you're supposed to go? And here's the reply, men and women. And I'd like you to take it to heart today, and I'd like you to take it with you from this service. Jim Elliot simply and calmly replied with these two words. I'm called. Called. And that, men and women, is what settled the matter. That's what settled the heart of Elizabeth Elliot. That's what gave her peace for the future. And that's what she rested upon through all of those dark days when her husband was taken from her so brutally at such a young age. And I want you to know, men and women, it's the same for you as well today. You're called. Called of God, just as Jim Elliot was. There's not a doubt about that as far as the teaching of the Bible is concerned. You may not be called to the mission field, but remember this, as one great missionary said, you have the command to go. Go into all the world. And unless you have a clear word from God that tells you to stay at home, then remember His will for you is to go. Go and serve Him and spread the gospel. You may not be called to the mission field as Jim Elliot was, but I want you to see from what we've said today, you're certainly called of God into His service. You're called to serve the Lord with your life, with your health, with your talents, while you have opportunity. And remember, men and women, that service always begins in the home church, among your own people, and among your own community. There's people have great ideas about doing a work for God at the far end of the earth, and they never do a thing in the home church. They don't come to the prayer meetings. They're not involved in any of the activities, the meetings, the children's outreaches, the Sunday school, any of those things. Remember that service for God begins in the home church. That's where you gain your experience. That's where you will get recognition. That's where you will get approval. And remember, you'll need that approval, the approval of your minister and session, if you want to get involved in the work of God. That's where you'll get that recognition, that approval. That's where you will get that support. All labours for Christ begin in the home church. So here, men and women, is a threefold call to service. There's a call to listen. Did you hear His voice today? There's a call to look. Did you look up, look away from yourself, look out even onto our city, the souls to be reached and the work to be done? And there's a call to labour. You know, there's a wee hymn in our book. Our young people sang it here at Gillian's Farewell. The final verse of the hymn, it says, "Let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do, when the souls of men are dying and the Master calls for you." A threefold call to service. And I urge you to obey the call, men and women. Obey the call. Surrender your life. Maybe some of you young people, you've had the struggle too that Elizabeth Elliot talked a little about. I had that struggle for nearly 2 years of my life, thinking about the farm and thinking about the cows, and how could I leave those things? The call of God, it is so clear, but friendship's call and home is dear. Ah, lonely was the path he trod, then wilt thou not go through with God. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. 437 is the closing hymn.